22, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. I got that out without screwing it up. Awesome. This is episode 207, spotlight on Marvel Comics Hawkeye, volume 4, I looked it up, number 22, circa 2015, that was like last week. I'm Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard with a much shorter subtitle.
Yes.
And I'm Murray Fox.
No. You're Captain Murray Fox.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
I saw a video you posted, but I didn't get a chance to watch it, so it must have to do with that.
Murray, well, did you go down with the short?
There it is. I see it.
The short version is, yeah, I went down with the ship.
Wow. Yikes. That looks dangerous.
Here's what I learned. Colored duct tape is bad for you. It seduces you with its like bright colors and flashy wares, and then it just doesn't stick.
Oh, okay.
Should have gotten the ducky one, the one with the little ducks on it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the good stuff, man.
What I should have gotten was the duct tape that actually like sticks.
The silver stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, I was doomed. The second that boat went in the water, it started taking on water. Right the duct tape was. The second it got wet, it was like...
Oh, that's so that terrible.
So then I'm stuck riding, paddling this boat that's filled with water that's like 800 million pounds because the water's going in, but it's not going out. So I'm dragging this horribly wet. It was a nightmare.
That does sound horrible.
A nightmare. It was like lots and lots of fun, but I learned don't be seduced by the colored duct tape.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just always assumed that the colored stuff was just duct tape with dye or something like that on it.
Yeah. Clearly. No, it's inferior, and I should have realized this. As I was building the boat, I was building it, for those people who aren't following my Facebook feed, I was building a cardboard boat to take part in a cardboard boat race this weekend. And as I was building the cardboard boat, the duct tape was kind of peeling off the edges, and I would just smooth it back down thinking, not thinking. That was the problem.
However, wow.
Yeah. There were lots of lifeguards on duty, so that was all good.
Well, that's good. That's really good.
How deep was the water, if I might ask?
It looked deep. I didn't watch a video, but it looked deep.
Yeah, it was like over my head at the buoy where the lifeguards were. Yeah.
Damn! Mm-hmm.
I was presuming just from your daughter's aborted video that it was all like hip deep.
So. No. She needs teenagers. When they talk about the teenage brain, they are not kidding. Like, I didn't realize when I said, can you film this, that I had to say, can you film this by opening the camera app, switching it to video, and then pressing the big round button.
Yeah, you do have to do
that. Round button. I didn't realize that I needed to be that explicit.
Oh, definitely. That's the one thing I've learned, if I've learned anything from helping raise the nephews, is you do have to be that, you know, it's like, well, you know, you need to go take a shower and wash your hair with soap and rinse after.
You know,
they're not teenagers yet, but still.
I'm hesitant to reference Bill Cosby, but there is that whole skit about him getting his kids to go take a shower. And you have to take off your clothes, turn on the water, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, to her credit, she thought she pressed the button and didn't realize until, you know, a little ways in that it wasn't recording. But which is fine, because then I can tell you all, the boat did really well until the wave swamped me, and then I went under. And there's no video evidence to offer as proof that that didn't happen.
This is true, yeah. Okay.
This was on a lake, right?
Yes.
So Ted Knight went cruising by in his big boat. No, Ted, not Ted Knight. Roddy Dangerfield went cruising by in his big boat and capsized you.
Absolutely. That's the problem.
That's what happened.
There were waves.
I can see it.
Swimming with this boat in waves. I mean, I'm a swimmer. I've been a lifeguard, but I've never had to, like, tow a boat while swimming in waves. I drank a lot of the lake. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So what were we talking about?
Anyway, we're talking about Hawkeye.
Yes.
Hawkeye.
This is the end of Matt Fraction and David Aja, I think that's how you say it. It's run.
Aha.
3 years in the making.
Aha.
Yes.
There was a couple of fill-in issues, but the ones that focused on Kate Bishop that were drawn by and I'm blanking. Oh.
Sorry. Stop. Turn off. There we go.
Okay.
Catch you. They were drawn by a different artist, but those are the when she was playing the Big Lebowski and his various issues of this book.
Yes. Yeah, I was looking at the trade dress. I guess they collect those in order in the trades anyway.
Her issues are pulled out of sequence. That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. I was looking at it. It says Volume 1, My Life as a Weapon, 1 through 5. This is on Wikipedia. Volume 2, Little Hits, is 6 through 11. And then Volume 3 is called L.A. Woman, and it's 14, 16, 18, 20, and Annual Number 1, which is all of hers. That came out in October of last year.
Well, that's neat.
The last volume is called Rio Bravo. And it's 12 through 13, 15, 17, 19, and 21 and 22. So that's kind of cool.
And she's popped up. He hasn't yet, but she's popped up in Secret Wars. A couple of different.
Has she? Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the artist.
Oh, no. No, hot guy himself. Of course, there was the Jeff Lemire series. Has anybody checked that out? Is that any good?
I like the art.
See? No, that... It's not going to be as good as this, though, I don't think.
No. And it's just, you know what? To his credit, this is a tough act to follow. It would be like following Jeff Lemire on Green Arrow. This is for him to taking on Hawkeye after what has been a game changer for Marvel, not just for this character, not just for this book, but for Marvel in general, for their tone. That's a tough act to follow. There's no way we'd have the current Spider-Woman if it wasn't for this, or the Captain Marvel, or even Ms. Marvel, if it wasn't for this book. I genuinely believe that.
I think you're right.
This book made it okay for them to not take it too seriously.
Yeah, it's just enough serious. Well, I mean, it reminds me a lot of Rockford Files, actually.
Yes, good analogy. Great analogy.
I mean, it had just enough humor to downplay the seriousness when he'd really get in a bad, you know. I need to watch that entire series again.
Yeah, I mean, they even did that one issue that was the Superstorm, whatever that was called, that hit New York. And,
yeah, they made that into it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's good stuff.
And they even did a silent issue from the dog's perspective. Not one of my favorite comics of all time, but I know that there were a lot of people.
I thought it was pretty cool. I liked it.
Perhaps I need to take the 3 seconds and reread it again. I don't know. Maybe that's...
I mean, just think about how hard that would be to write.
It wouldn't be, because there's no writing.
Well, no, you have to write it to the point where the... I guess. I don't know. So, no. I guess you just do a page and say, okay, this is what I want to happen, and then the artist goes, boom.
Yeah. No, one of my favorite episodes of Buffy was the silent episode, and that's
a good point.
It flew. It was great. It was awesome. So,
All right then. All right, Caleb, you want to do it?
I will do this one. I will try and I will attempt to get even half the amount of justice this book deserves.
Yeah. I'm gonna. I need to come up. I've been lacking in coming up with topics for the podcast. I apologize, boys and girls.
You guys, take it up my slack. Spending time in the hospital is no longer an excuse, Chris.
Yes, I know. I'm much better now. I have been cleaning the crap out of this down here. It's like, you know, I got a it's like an electric shock of activity out of my little stint in the hospital. 3 days of sleeping, and I didn't even turn the TV on, but maybe an hour the entire time I was there.
Blasphemy.
I know. I didn't even check Facebook.
Double blast.
I know. It was amazing. Totally disconnected for 3 days. Well, except for the IV in my arm, but that's another thing. Whole another story. Anyway.
So this is Mad Fraction, David Ajaraha, and Matt Hollingsworth's last issue of Hawkeye. And as Chris noted, this has taken 3 years to publish 22 issues, plus one annual or two annuals. I can't recall now.
Just one.
So a lot of time. And in fact, the new series of Hawkeye, the one Lemire is writing, started before this one even ended.
Yeah, it did.
And I think it's even three or four issues deep into that series. New Hawkeye, more focused on Clint Barton and how he became Hawkeye, as opposed – this whole book was about Hawkeye. Well, I'll read the little intro. It says, Clint Barton, a.k.a. Yes. Hawkeye, became the greatest sharpshooter known to man. Then he joined the Avengers. This is what he does when he's not doing that. Previously, if you're still here, you know what happened last time. This is how it ends. So that's the tone of the book. And then, again, it stars Hawkeye, which is Clint Barton primarily, but then it's also Kate Bishop, who is also Hawkeye. And then there was also Bart Clinton, Barney Clinton, who was for a while. He was Hawkeye, but then he was also the Dark Hawkeye in the Dark Avengers. Lots of Hawkeyes.
I didn't remember that. I never did read any of that. But I like this storyline is called Rio Bravo after the 19. I assume it's very similar. The 1959 movie with John Wayne, Dean Martin, and Ricky Nelson. So that's what I got it because they're all holed up in the building, and that's kind of exactly what happened in that movie. So yeah.
Which was remade into what was that cop movie? 70s? I don't remember.
Well, they did one like that. I can't remember the name of it, but he did another one that's almost identical with James Caan. It's called El Dorado, that had James Caan and Robert Mitchum in it. It's almost the exact same movie, just slightly, you know, different characters.
Well, this one starts off now, and we are focused on a safe, which is open, and we have the bro there. You know, bro, seriously, you've got the world's worst timing, but thanks for opening that safe for us, bro. And he's talking to one of Clint Barton's many girlfriends. In fact, the one from the very beginning of the series, whose name I don't recall.
I don't know if they ever told it, but she had a very nice car, if I remember correctly.
Yes, she did. It was an awesome scene at the beginning of the series. Anyhow.
Was it like I think it was like a Challenger or a Chrysler muscle car, at least, anyway.
Oh, Matt Fraction is an unabashed fan of the 70s. There's he's very public about that. Anyhow, so she's getting her stuff out of the safe, and of course, then she pulls a gun on one of the tracksuit mafia guys, as well as his the white-faced mime clown guy who uses a gun as opposed to arrows.
She pulls a gun
on them. And she says, I shot my own husband with this, Ivan. You think I won't shoot his boss? Bro. He says, a tracksuit mafia guy. And then in flies an arrow. And it taps into the wood above their head. And mime guy is reloading his shotgun. And then in flies Clint Barton through the window. Cash. Kind of cool. Very cool. And then does a rolling thing at him. And get out of my apartment, he yells. And in comes Pizza Dog and attacks tracksuit mafia guy. And where the futz is futzing dog from, bro? Where, Clint? And then I love this curse in Polish.
Yeah, that's awesome.
None of that asterisks and ampersands and dollar signs for them. It's a curse in Polish. And Barton's all, don't move. He's got his bow drawn. And just like 10 minutes ago is the caption. And we were outside the building.
I love how he does that kind of stuff.
And we have a reflection of Barton's apartment building that's been the center of this series, the centerpiece of the series, physically at least, reflected in Kate Bishop's glasses. And we pull back, and it's a war zone out there. Lots of tracksuit mafia guys on the ground, and Bishop is walking up with Pizza Dog.
And if you remember, she took Pizza Dog with her to L.A. So.
Yes, and then he came back. And here he is with her. And she's checking out a car, and there's a girl named Amy. Still with us, kid? Hey, Hawkeye, welcome home, she says. We beat the bad guys yet? Fixin' to, says Bishop. And more tracksuit mafia guys are moving furniture out of the way, out of the stairwell, inside the building. Oof, lift with back, bro. Bro, look at all this crap, bro. Need dang dynamite. And then we get a... We get an exploding arrowhead. Taps right in above the guy's head and...
Kaboom!
Kaboom!
Oh, take a break. Drink. Oh, wait. Wrong podcast. I'm going to drink anyway, so...
And they're walking in through the smoke. What is that from? Walking that visual. It reminds me of a movie.
What? Her in silhouette walking through there?
Yeah, with the dog walking through the smoke.
You've seen it several times. I'm sure. I can't think of anything specific.
So she biffs one of the tracksuit mafia guys with her Nike, or it's probably an Asics, actually, excuse me, and gives Pizza Dog a sniff of something. Smells like, oh, it's an arrow, actually. Gives him an arrow to run up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
That is one great dog.
Yeah, it is, I'm telling you.
And so now then, and Kate Bishop has also got everyone in their sights with her arrows, as well as Clint Barton, and Mime Guy is standing there with his shotgun, and the girlfriend is standing there with her gun, and Tracksuit Mafia Guy's on the ground with Pizza Dog on his chest. Bishop's, it comes back to you in the end. I am right way more than you people give me credit for, says Barton. How you doing over there, Hawkeye? Good enough, Hawkeye, says Bishop. And we get a flash on the girlfriend, the mime guy. Oh, Lucky. I keep calling it Pizza Dog. I prefer Pizza Dog, but his given name is Lucky.
Oh, that's right. It is Lucky, isn't it?
So,
Pizza Dog's his code name.
Yes, that's his code name. He should be like the Bat Cow.
Yeah, there you go. I think they call him Lucky because didn't they shoot that dog once before?
Yes, they did.
And it survived?
That dog has been through a lot.
Tough bastard, I'm telling you.
Stop eating the Russian, he says. Now breathe in, and the girlfriend uncocks the gun. Breathe out, be cool, and everyone lets loose. We get
be cool like Fonzie.
Okay.
Sorry.
And unfortunately, Mime Guy shoots Lucky.
It's like, oh, dude, why'd you have to do that? I mean, I hated that.
And Bishop is yelling something, which we can't hear. She's got Band-Aids all over her face. And Mime Guy is getting attacked from behind by Clint Barton, who tackles him and gets whacked. And Bishop is looking after the dog for a minute. And there has a big fist fight. This is really well choreographed.
It is.
It's really
good.
Well done. And this is an amazing issue. I'm not doing it half the justice it deserves. I'm really not. But so they're having a big fight, Barton and Mime Guy, and diving through an open room, and he's getting shit beat out of them. Both of them beating each other to death here. Crack, wham, thwack, and they're facing off. Barton with his bow, the guy with his shotgun. And we flash back out to the kitchen where Pizza Dog is dying. The girlfriend is looking at the gun over there on the floor, as well as Tracksuit Mafia Guy. They look at the gun. They look at each other. Look at the gun. Look at each other. And they dive for it, and Bishop gets it first. And she says, blink, and I shoot. God, that's so well choreographed.
It reminds me of
amazing.
This would be a good movie, actually.
Yes. And we're back to the fight between the mime guy and Barton, and they're beating each other up a lot more. Whackety whack whack.
It reminds me of action movies I've seen, actually.
Oh no, it is. It's so well done. And mm-hmm. Barton's got mime guy in his sights with an arrow drawn at him, and keep trying to think why I shouldn't do it, he asks himself. Mime guy says, and I'm not like you, says Barton. And mime guy, we get a X-ray into the guy's sleeve where he's got I don't know what you call it. He's got one of those, like a James Bondy kind of thing where gun is loaded up his sleeve. And
pop out Derringer.
Yeah, like speaking of James Garner, like Maverick.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Barton says, I'm not like you. And mime guy says, too bad. And blams Barton in the shoulder. Blam. Big old blam, too. And Bishop's got the girlfriend and the mafia guy in her sights. Girlfriend says, all I need is my cash, my passport. Everything Clint needs is in that safe, Kate. I just want to get my stuff and go. What go? Where you think you go, bro? We don't find you. And you, go ahead and shoot me, lady bro.
I love that. Lady bro.
She's totally not the negotiation tactic I expected here, Tracksuit Dracula. You take me out? Nah. Got's like 16 bros downstairs. More across city and more back home. Shoot him. Don't listen to him, says the girlfriend. Shoot him. Be super scared right now if Ivan was lady bro. Because none of my bros got problems shooting little girls, he says. Oh, he's a badass. And
he thinks he is.
And we flash down to his guys who are recovering on the ground floor who got blowed up. And he's saying, Demas, that bro grew up on street. Lubo, he in jail more than out, bro. Nick got his collection of teeth he bust out. Kostya kill on papa, bro. His papa. And don't even get me started on Alec, bro. That's just off the top of the lady, bro.
You are kicking ass on that accent, I'm telling you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. And then we pull back, and the neighborhood watch is there. All of the people from the building that Clint has been guarding for the last year. And they're all stay down. And they've got axes and bats and more bats. Lots of baseball bats. Those New Yorkers are into their baseball, aren't they?
Axe handles.
And back up to Kate. Man, I feel super sketchy about shooting somebody, let alone an unarmed D-bag. Stand your ground, says the girlfriend. A home invasion, justifiable. Here, and Kate tosses the gun over to Ivan. And just as he's about to catch the gun, she shoots him through the hand with an arrow. Man, she is badass.
I love that.
That was for the dog, you awful son of a bitch, she says. And she's got a pair of handcuffs. And he's got an arrow in his hand.
Mm-hmm. I used to be an adventurer like you. Oh, I'm sorry. You ever heard that? Never mind.
That's okay. And we get back to Clint, who's got the mime guy. He's got him in his sights with his pistol. And in dives Kate. So Clint, and blam, the gun goes off as Kate pushes his arm out of the way. And there's more fighting as mime guy is taking Kate down, and Clint finds a shard of something in his shoulder, and he's holding it in his hand and looking down the barrel of the gun.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
It's just a piece of wood that he finds lodged in his shoulder, and he pulls a bullseye. That's more of a bullseye move than a Hawkeye move, but he flicks the piece of wood and tags mime guy right in the eyeball.
Yep.
And putting an exclamation point on the series, he says, building's not for sale.
Yeah.
After beating the crap out of the guy. And it looks like he got his what do you call it? His hearing aid got blown out because there's no dialogue. All he's hearing is blank. We got blank dialogue boxes. Because remember, he's deaf. Yep. Now Clint Barton is officially deaf.
More like it might have got overloaded with that close range gunshot.
Possibly that would be good too. And we get a little one of the hallmarks of the of this series is showing sign language panels. I mean, something it says here. I have no idea. One and two. Anybody? Bueller?
No idea.
Well,
no clue.
All right. Well, he's tying the mime guy up with his stereo equipment wires.
Well, now I'm going to look it up while you're talking.
Okay. And then if you could look up what that final – never mind. I'll get into Ant-Man later. But, okay.
There we go.
And we're now downstairs and lots of emergency vehicles and
I was looking for it, and I found an image for the bad words in sign language. Well, that'll be useful later.
Yeah, save that one for another podcast. another hallmark of this series is focusing on the emergency responders of New York City, and we get the NYPD guy saying, "We got it from here, Hawkeye, and thanks." But then is the caption, and we're pulled back on a wheelchair. He was, I swear he was right here. And we pull back, we're on the roof of the apartment building, and Barton is looking worse for wear, but a lot of his tenants are there. And after you went back down, he started moving again. And talking about Barney, by the way, he untied me. So then what happened? Well, I figured he was off to help you. I had to bet all my money. Money, says Barton. And he rushes downstairs to the basement. Barney Futzen Barton, he says. So you're just like forging his signature? Oh, please. We used to be married, is the dialogue. And we're now inside the apartment with all of the women in Clint Barton's life.
Yeah.
And the Avengers are... Go ahead.
He lives dangerously.
He does. We've got Jessica Drew putting away dishes and... what? Bobby Morse, a.k.a. Mockingbird, is signing some documents on Clint Barton's behalf. And we have Natasha Romanoff over there with standing all hippie with her doing something. I don't know. And Pizza Dog made it. Pizza Dog came through with flying colors. And basically she's just signing documents. Mockingbird signing documents for Hawkeye over here. And the first girlfriend, she's heading out, and Mockingbird saying, "Our marriage was complicated. Time for this one to go," says Black Widow. "Say your goodbyes." And she leans in, the girlfriend leans in to kiss Barton, and she's like, "Well," she's like, "Whoa, best of luck," says Barton, as he's looking it over at all his ex-girlfriends off to the side. He's like, "Best of luck, Penny. Her name is Penny." We found, yeah, you're right. We probably did not get a name for her this whole series. Right there. And time to go be someone else's bad luck, I guess. And we then pull back. She's on an airplane, flying off into the sunset or into the sunrise. Who knows? And I love those sunglasses that old guy's wearing. I want a pair.
That's one of those mobsters.
I want those sunglasses. Oh, that might be the old guy, the old mobster for the beginning. You're right. Oh my God, I didn't even catch that.
Yep.
I need to read all these issues again.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. I can't wait to get to Omnibus and read it all in one shot. I'm sure it'll be 10 times better.
Great catch, Chris. I did not get that. Okay. And then we.
I'm not really sure. I'm trying to find it, but I think that was thank you. Is what he said in sign language.
Oh, that would make sense. Okay. And then we get some photos of Hawkeye and Hawkeye Girl. Both of them standing there. And the caption is, "Kill them, both of them." And the owl is saying, "Agreed." And Mustache Guy, who I don't know who that is, says, "Agreed." And Mr. Negatives says, "Agreed." And Madam Mask, "Agreed." And Hammerhead, "Agreed." And the Ringmaster, "Oui." I didn't know he was French. And I can't remember what this old guy's name is. And he says, "Agreed." and Tombstone, Agreed. And then I forgot, her dad was a mafia guy. So, Mr. Bishop, what say you? He says, focuses on the picture of his daughter, and Agreed. And it's Kingpin is leading a meeting of all the different crime bosses around New York. And, well then, ladies and gentlemen, it would appear we are in the Avenger killing business.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. And then we got a phone with a cord. and Clint is doing target practice, looks like. And the phone is ringing. He stops. He says, Cap? And guess what? Says a voice on the other end. Barney, says Clint. And, no, dumbass. You say chicken butt. Only been doing this since we was six. So, hey, listen, I got my money back. Told you a long time ago it was gonna happen, and now look, it happened. And Barney's sitting there sipping a martini in a lounger, and says, "Didn't even have to kill you, Clint," because he's interrupting him clearly, because we can't see Clint's dialogue at this point. It's only Barney talking. I don't care. I got some wounds. They gotta heal. Some fancy meals. I want to eat. I got a special lady to take nice care of. Slurp. He slurps his martini, and there's a woman setting down another drink in front of him, and there's a little baby girl in a high chair, and a young boy at the, looks like the railing of something. He says, along with these two little goofball babies of hers, Charlie, off the railing. Sorry, Uncle Barney.
That's pretty this cool. Cash will,
this cash will more than take care of us. All for a nice long time. So you take it easy there, Clint. I swear to God, Barney, I'm going to find you. No, you won't. And it turns out Barney's off in a sailboat. He's like Michael Douglas in Romancing the Stone. Mm-hmm. And Clint, he's got his Stark Tech hearing aid back in. And he's looking at a target of a human body with all the numbers on it. He pulls back his bow and in walks Kate Bishop. She steps up, knocks her bow, pull back, and says a Clint Barton, Kate Bishop comic book, and they both loose their bows. And by Matt Fraction and David Aja, the arrows are flying with Matt Hollingsworth and Chris Eliopoulos. And we focus in on the X in the middle of there and end. The fade to black. Oh, I forgot Chris Eliopoulos. I can't even pronounce that name. I'm sure I screwed it up. Anyhow, was lettering this whole thing. And that is the period at the end of the sentence that is Hawkeye.
Yep.
Or Hawkeye. He got to be known as Hawkeye in the early issues. Cause
yeah, one of those guys was calling him that.
What the guy's name was. But he died heroically trying to save his dad. Or trying to not save dad, save Clint from the mime guy. Anyhow, I thought this issue was one of the best comic books I've ever read.
I have to agree, it's good stuff, man. I was trying to find what the sign language meant. Somebody, looking on Google, but all the reviews about it I found agreed completely. So
that it was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It's a great issue.
If this was rated in Rotten Tomatoes, this would be 100%. I have no doubt.
So how does it compare – not how does it compare to the rest of the series? It's a good closer to the series then, you think?
Yes, absolutely.
It ends just – when Grant Morrison takes on a series, by the end of it, everything is back to the status quo it was when his first issue started, no matter how much weirdness happened. Same with this. It's – Mm-hmm. Other than the tone that they're now used for Hawkeye, which is kind of they kind of vacillate between the tone of this book and the version from the movies, it is back to status quo for this character, and but in no way did they we're gonna slog through this last issue.
They definitely didn't half-ass it or dial it in or anything like that. So.
No. And there are no half-asses. Murray, I highly recommend this book. It is superhero light. There's very little superhero-ness in this. There's, you know, it's all about...
It's all street-level stuff. It reminds me a lot of Mike Grell's Green Arrow run, actually.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it didn't veer off into the whole supernatural stuff like what Lemire did with Green Arrow, which, again, I'm a fan of that period
that
of Green
Arrow.
That
was a very good run. And I'm not as enamored with him as a lot of other people are. He's kind of hit and miss with me. His bringing back the Legion and Justice League United being...
We don't talk about that.
Yeah, no. That's my biggest... Yeah.
But this is a great series, Murray. It's 23 mm-hmm. issues. That's all. I mean, and like Chris said, there's an omnibus, but you know, you can get the trades. Four trades and one omnibus. It's well worth the price of admission. I will be purchasing I think I'm going to buy the trades. I don't think the omnibus. I don't want it all in one big thing. I would rather get the trades.
Yeah, so. I didn't know if I knew the trades were already out. I'd have got them. The final trade. Comes out August 4th. So
okay, wow, see, that gotta love Marvel for that, putting these things out. Bam, bam, no 20 years later.
No, I mean their trade program is very, very good. I have to admit, the Epic Collections and the other things that they put out, it's good stuff.
And so anyhow, I again, apologies for having to start this late, but I had to go see Ant-Man today. So.
Oh, that's fine.
Woo! And did you like it?
Loved it.
Yeah, that was a great movie, wasn't it?
My wife, who just did not want to go, she was dragged kicking and screaming to this thing. Loved the hell out of it. So.
Yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised.
Because she absolutely just. Did not like Age of Ultron and was like, oh, God, another Marvel movie. Yeah. But no, she loved this one. So.
Also, if you want to, there's going to be two hardcovers. There's two hardcovers that collect the entire series as well.
All right. Paperbacks are just so much easier to cram into my work bag.
That's true. See, you got... Volume 1 is running for $13.59. This is on Amazon. Volume 2 is only $8.71.
I have Volume 1. We even read through issue number 1 way back.
I remember that. It was very good.
I have that trade. I need to get 2, 3, and 4. Four eventually, whenever that.
Yeah, that's just in about a month. Actually,
but Murray, this series is very rereadable.
Yes, I agree. Like I said, I'm looking forward to rereading it when I get to Omnibus. Good stuff. Very good stuff.
It does. It does absolutely put a nice solid period or even exclamation point at the end of the series.
Yeah, I agree totally. Oh, and they have a Nerf Avengers Marvel Assemble Hawkeye longbow toy. I might have to get that. Comes with 6 darts. Oh. Okay, about that.
You can have Hawkeye versus Katniss with Nerf.
There you go. Yeah, that's good stuff right there. So awesome.
How would Nerf do with your boating expedition?
Nerf.
Nerf floats.
And, I think it would,
but
yeah.
Not made of cardboard.
Okay.
That was the
Is that gonna be cardboard? Oh, okay.
Yeah. However, if I can disguise it and slide it into slid it into some of the anyway. Next year. Next year.
It's gonna be like the building of the soapbox racers.
Next year, yeah. I got plans.
You got plans? Okay. Design it now.
Hey, I appreciate you guys putting up with and letting me present this one out there. I know that you guys enjoyed it too, but at the same time it was not an initial plan. I wanted to do a Kiss comic book, but for what – don't ask. I thought that would be cool, but
– Well, I mean, that's something we haven't done, so.
Hey, we should do Black Kiss. No, I can't do that.
Ooh. Yeesh. No. That's – I haven't I haven't read that, but I know enough about it that, yeah, that's slightly beyond our – that's a, that maybe a whole other podcast we do. We can do that. So. that's funny. All right. What else we got? Anything else?
Nope.
Go see Ant-Man. If you haven't seen it and you're listening to this and you're thinking on the fence, see it. It is awesome.
It is a really, really good movie. I enjoyed
and Marvel,
it.
And excuse me, Warner Brothers has got to be kicking themselves for not putting out an Adam movie. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to. I mean, well, they probably are now.
I don't know. I don't know.
They got a long way to go for they catch up, which they might never.
They got to let go of the grim and gritty.
Well, yeah, I know. I agree. I have to agree. Because, I mean, there was plenty of, you know, it was had a lot of action without, you know, getting ridiculous. And, yeah, I loved it. It was great. Really, really, really good movie.
Murray, I predict by the end of Superman versus Batman that the grim and gritty is gone. That is my prediction for that movie, is it is going to put an end to the grim and gritty.
Well, yeah, they, you know, supposed to be all the Justice League by the end of it, and so we'll see.
I hope so, but if it's like Geoff Johns' Justice League, it's still going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be like.
Somebody's going to lose a limb, more likely.
Murray's tired. It's 9 o'clock. It's a school night for Murray.
Yeah, we better get him to bed.
Don't even say that word. I got 5 weeks.
Let's tuck the poor guy in here.
Okay. It's a school night for me. Okay.
Jeez. It's a school night for you. Your guys have been back for a week.
Oh well.
Yes,
got
down here
time.
In Chandler, Arizona, we're a week ahead of the rest of you.
Oh boy.
We still have friends down here.
Well, let's see. Let's wrap this up. As always, you can send an email to podcastdetailsfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or join us on the Facebook page and our ever-growing, I really can't call it a legion. It's more like a gaggle of fans. And or you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that is it for this week. And we are out.